You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Marta Alfonso, a principal in the Management Advisory Services Department at MBAF, a leading national certified public accounting firm that serves domestic and international clients across a broad range of industries and practices in more than 44 countries and all 50 states. The firm's areas of expertise include assurance, tax and accounting services, management advisory services, private client wealth services, and technology consulting. Marta, a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with your listeners.
You are very welcome. So let's start off with the curiosity. Obviously, the listener would definitely want to hear about this. How common are cases of embezzlement?
Well, the cases of embezzlement are quite common. You know, across the country, there is probably about 5% of business value gets lost due to fraud. And among the most common types of fraud are embezzlement types of fraud where assets are actually misappropriated or taken from a company. And the average loss in a case like this would probably range around $140,000 for the average small business owner. So it's pretty sizable.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. Have cases of fraud and embezzlement increased or decreased in recent years?
Well, as the economy cycles through a tough time, you do see cases of embezzlement typically increase because either individuals or executives in a company find themselves actually needing money to basically take care of their personal needs, or you have individuals that fall upon hard times either due to illness or a transition in the family. Somebody's getting divorced. And so oftentimes you find that people tend to go back and believe that the banking accounts of a company belong to them, which they don't.
Which industries are typically most affected by embezzling? Are there any industries we may typically not suspect that are hit by embezzlement?
Ironically, you would think that a company that does a lot of business in cash would be one place where embezzlements would be a higher risk, and yet you find that people embezzle not only with cash, but they also embezzle with wire transfers or checks where they're able to change the check payee or the endorsement and transfer funds in an unauthorized manner to their account. And believe it or not, nonprofits are the types of companies where you also see embezzlement, which is a surprising thing where, you know, you've got institutions that are being formed for charitable or educational purposes, and oftentimes you'll find people that can embezzle because they typically want to invest the funds and their efforts towards taking whatever donations they get and transferring them out, unless emphasis on the controls for the company, but they're as equally important in a nonprofit as they are in a for-profit company.
How long does it typically take for companies to detect cases of fraud and embezzlement by its employees?
If you don't have good controls, the National Survey on Occupational Fraud says, and this is really through the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, it says that it takes on average about 18 months. If you do have strong controls in place, you can cut that time in half. And the reason it takes so long is because typically a person that's perpetrating this type of activity won't take a lot of money at one time. And certainly at the beginning, it happens for an immediate need, and it's typically not a large amount of money. And once the individual finds that nobody found it, it's been missed, or they rationalize and say, I'm going to pay it back, but I just need a little bit more, that begins to start the cycle of the money being taken over time. Typically, these frauds we find are not one-time events. They are been happening over a period of time as the person that's taking the funds finds that it's easy to do.
Yeah, without a question. Today we're joined by Marta Alfonso, a principal in the Management Advisory Services Department at MBAF, a leading national certified public accounting firm that serves domestic and international clients, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Marta, what are the financial and legal implications for businesses to be aware of?
Well, on the financial side, of course, you're dealing with losses in assets that you thought you had, or the assets that basically were never recorded because they never found their way into the books. And so sometimes it's somewhat hard to quantify. On the legal side, depending in the type of entity you're dealing with, you know, you've got an issue of potential problems with violations of either civil or criminal statutes that cause the entity to examine whether they have violations of program requirements if they're nonprofits, whether there are issues with liabilities with their depository institutions for failure to catch an embezzlement scheme. You have potential claims that get made by, for example, the local district attorney that, you know, may come after the individual. So in every case, the facts really drive whether there are civil or criminal statutes that are implicated, and the type of company will also drive whether there are business issues like embezzling in certain types of programs where people are donating funds. So each situation is different, and I certainly would make sure that the executives of the company, if they're not involved, are put, you know, are that there's a process within the company that they can set up typically an anonymous hotline so that people can call in and identify concerns or tips, if you will, because that's a very common way to detect these activities. And then the appropriate chain of command, typically through an audit committee or senior management, can evaluate these claims and get counsel involved and forensic accountants involved as necessary.
What are simple and immediate steps that businesses can take to protect themselves from fraud and embezzlement?
Old-fashioned, strong internal accounting controls. Check your signature cards on at least an annual basis to make sure nobody's gone into a bank and made changes to them. Make sure that you have what is called separation of duties, segregation of duties, where you have at least two people involved in the collection and disbursement of cash, that accounts are reconciled independently. If that's not possible, certainly have the person who gets the bank statement be independent from the person that reconciles the bank statement. In some of today's embezzlements, people are getting very creative because they try to modify the bank statements so that the bank statements that an auditor sees or a controller sees have been amended by the embezzler so that it doesn't look like the money ever was missing. So all those types of activities are important. You also want to think about making sure that there's either job rotation or mandatory vacations in the accounting department or some of the departments that have access to that information, even in the mailroom, so that you can detect whether there has been suspicious activity going on off cycle from when a particular person is there.
Some good tips to watch out for. Now, do you have any success stories that you can share with us to how you have helped clients detect and handle fraud and embezzlement cases?
And I'd be glad to. I think typically what we see is that when these types of events come up, we will get a call from either general counsel or an independent lawyer that the company has hired to have our firm come in and evaluate what conduct has gone on. And our role is not to place a label on the conduct, but it's really to explain the facts of what has happened. So, for example, we would be able to go in, look at the checks, look at the bank statements, look at the history of certain accounts that might look like money has not been deposited when it should have, identify those, and then typically one of two things happens. Number one, they're able to go back to the individual who we think is, you know, has been involved or who is identified as such, and they work out a payment plan where the money comes back to the entity. Number two, we also have participated where the company elects to go to their insurance carrier to be able to pick up the proceeds of insurance to cover their losses. And then the decision of what they're going to do with the authorities and what other legal obligations is really decisions that are made by the company and their counsel. But we always see that after an event like that happens, my experience has been is that companies go back, are very thoughtful about their controls, and it makes it stronger so they avoid those problems in the future. But my comment on all this is that if you believe that some of those potential activities are going on, it's kind of like brushing your teeth. You know, a lot of people don't like to go to the dentist, but they go, they protect their mouth. And here's the same thing. If you look at your internal controls and you test them, rigorously on an annual basis, then you know that they're protecting your company. And I think that's an important exercise to go through.
Without a question. Now, how about telling our listeners where they can get more information about MBAF online?
Well, our website is www.mbafcpa.com, and you can go there and find out more about our forensic accounting and litigation support and valuation practice.
Well, it certainly has been good to have had you. She is Marta Alfonso, a principal in the Management Advisory Services Department at MBAF, a leading national certified public accounting firm that serves domestic and international clients across a broad range of industries and practices in more than 44 countries and all 50 U.S. states. And the website of reference, once again, is MBAFCPA.com. Marta, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.